Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Nun Tes. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zichron Shmas Libik Avila Bashmuel. We're going to start today in Nun Ches Mud Beis. We're starting with the words Hu Gavra. We learned yesterday that when you do damage to somebody's property, so you don't assess the damage as per the damage per se, but you assess it based in the context of the field. In fact, the Gemara yesterday gave us a formula for how you do it, and you do it based on Shishim. Shishim in the context of Nezik is really nothing to do with the Shishim that we're more used to. We're used to hearing about Shishim when it comes to Bitul Barov, when you have Lach Balach, when you have mixtures get mixed up together, liquids get mixed up together. So in order to adjust for taste, to make sure that there's no longer any taste in the mixture, so therefore you need 60 times to 1 in order to negate taste. That's generally how we look at Shishim. Shishim in the context of Nezik means as follows. It actually serves as a tremendous kula for the Mazik, for the one who does the damage. So in other words, if my animal goes into your property and does damage to your property, so we don't assess based on the actual damage per se, but basically how much was the field worth before the damage, how much is the field worth after the damage, and we look at the difference, and that's how much I pay. In fact, we learned yesterday's Gemara that it actually goes even beyond that, meaning it's even more of a kula for the Mazik. Let's say, for example, the field is a small field, and there's damage that's done. So we don't look at the appraisal of the field based on the small field that it is, but rather we look at the field of 60 saw, which is a large field, and basically now we're going to prorate based on if the field was a field 60 times, and this particular damage was done to the field, so how much would the amount of the property diminish based on the damage that's done, and that's how much the Mazik is going to pay. So truth be told, is that really this all serves as a tremendous cooler for the Mazik. I don't know if there's an agenda, meaning nobody wants to be makel for one or the other. There's a Mazik, there's a Nizak, and obviously the victim is the one who got victimized, but still in terms of a formula for how to assess this damage, so you base it on this principle of on this concept of shishim. We learned it based on a drasha in the psukim in the last couple of days. If I could just give you a sense of just translate this into into a real example where you really will see the difference, right? Let's say I throw a ball through my neighbor's window and I break the window, and I've done that once or twice as a kid. I've done it in neighbor's windows, I've done it in my own house's windows, whatever. So I liked ball when I was a kid. So so you break a window. So basically now, so he comes over to you and he says, okay, fine, you broke the window, now you got to pay. So if you operate now, I'm not saying this is a halacha. I'm not. This is not me being a dayan or assessing any kind of din. It just gives us. It really allows us to wrap our head around the idea of this whole concept of shishim. So basically now, if we worked with the model of shaman of this kind of appraisal, so we don't look at how much the window with the actual damage of the window, but basically how much was the house before the broken window, how much was the house after the broken window, and I mean it's just one broken window. I don't know how much you're going to be able to lower the price of the house because of a broken window, and you assess based on that damage. So just again, I'm not, the example is just it allows us to wrap our head around this idea of instead of looking at the damage, looking at the appraisal of the property before and after the damage. Okay. With that stated, we are in Chesam and Beis. We're starting from where we left off yesterday. Actually, Stu told me that he already started the story yesterday. It's a good place to start. How Gavra Dikatz Kashpa Mechavre. Okay, so it was a person who went over to his friend's tree. And again, a friend over here is going to be used a little bit loosely. When a person went over to his friend's property, he had three trees on his property. He cut one of the trees down. Okay, no, whatever happened over there. In other words, the story behind the story, don't ask me, I don't know. I don't exactly know what got into everybody, but damage was done. So how gavra dikatz kashpa mechavra asal kama deresh galusa. So now, basically, we are going to court because one person damaged another person. He cut down his tree, one of three. So they go to the resh galusa for adjudication. So amar leili didi chazili. So Resh Galusa says, okay, it happens to be, I know that property well, I know exactly what, I know what it looked like before the damage was done, and the Tilsa, Talsa Bikina Havo, there were three trees all in the same area that were over there, and Kaimu, Avishava Meazoze, and I also happen to know that as three trees, the appraised the appraised value of the three trees were 100 zuz, and zil havale tosim v'tasa v'tilsa. So basically, okay, so one of the trees were cut down, so the three trees all together were 100 zuz, so you pay a third, so it's 33 and a third. That's how much Reish Galusa demanded that the Mazik pay the Nizak. It's so interesting. Meaning, Rav Nachman's the abbas, and Reish Galusa was the it was a political position. But I guess as part of the political position, he could adjudicate. But yeah, I'm with you. It's not. I don't think it's normal that they go to Reish Galusa. I don't think so. But Amar, Amar Gabi Reish Galusa the Da'in Dina de Parsa. So the Mazik said. Sorry, let me do that again. Let me do a little bit better. No, I'm right. The Mazik said so. That this Reish Galusa is judging as if he were Persian. So again, I know there are a couple of them out here in the crowd. So no offense to the locals, but but that's Persian law. And Rashi over here writes. So I'll read the Rashi inside. It's Persian law. It's a short Rashi. Rashi says Shenu din Torah. I mean, this is not the way the Torah would assess the kind of damages that were done, and basically. Turns to the Reish Galusa and says, "Look, you're judging like a Persian, and this is not right." So lamali, I'm sorry, Dina Deparsa lamali. Okay, so that was what the Mazik said to the Reish Galusa. Perhaps he said it with a little bit of what he was upset. He felt like the judgment wasn't correct. Also, that's what Ben pointed out. Meaning, is the Reish Galusa normally the address that people go to for assessment of damages? I mean, he's the Reish Galusa. He's not the Av Beis Din. So why they went to him to begin with, Ben pointed it out. I don't know. I don't know why they went to the Reish Galusa to begin with. Also, the comment to Rav Nachman. So they go to Rav Nachman. Now, Rav Nachman is Rav Nachman, meaning, and we have already seen, we have enough experience with Rav Nachman where we know, generally speaking, he's a hardliner. And he was related to the Reish Galusa as well. Anyway, so I'm Amar Leih B'Shishim. So Rav Nachman says, okay, we're going to go with the formula that we learned yesterday, that we reviewed in the beginning of this morning, and the formula of Shishim, meaning we don't look at the actual damage itself, but we look at it in the context of the field. And not only do we look at it in the context of this little field, but we look at it in the context of a larger field. So, and we're going to then, after assessing how much of this damage would look in a field that large, then we would prorate it based on the current damage, and that's it. And so it is not the actual damage, but it's based on the context of how much was the property worth versus how much is the property worth, and that's how you assess the damage. So, and obviously that makes the Mazik much happier because that obviously represents a smaller amount that he has to pay. Yeah, I know. Right. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Good. So I don't know. Alex, I don't know. I don't know how he could.
If the damaged party wanted to replace that same tree, that would have to pay a lot more money than the damage.
It's not a replacement cost. It's an assessment of the property. Assessment of the property before and after damages, and not just this property, but a larger property, which means that again it serves as a more lenient position to the mazik, to the one who did the damage. So Amalei Rava Imam Rabbaniske Mamona Yom Rabbaniske Gufo. So Rava says, and I'm not sure if he's talking directly to Rav Nachman or is he just discussing the case in retrospect. Either way, Rava says, I don't think so. I don't think this is correct. Meaning, we know that there are different categories of Nezek. We know, since the beginning of the Masechta, it's the first thing we were introduced to in Baba Kama. There are different categories of Nezek. There's Nizke Gufa, Nizke Mamono. There is where my animals do damage, and there's where I do damage. And we've discussed, there are differences along the way. And so what Rav is suggesting is, maybe this formula of Shishim, where we look at the damage, not as the damage itself, but in the context of the property. So this is going to be a formula that is used when your animals do damage. But when you yourself do damage, when it's Nizke Adam, so maybe no. Maybe the way they assess damage is basically looking at the damage itself. This is Rava's suggestion. So Amalei Abai LaRava Beniske Gufa Mai Daitech. So the Gemara doesn't give a svarim in terms of why it should be different. Meaning, we have discussed many differences along the Masechta. We are now approaching the 60th daf of the Masechta. We've gone over many differences that exist between the different categories. This is not one of them. Meaning, and we'll see at the end of this Gemara, this is not going to be one of them. But at least in terms of a svara, what was Rava's svara? What did he think in terms of why there should be a difference? I leave that as an open-ended question. I don't know. In other words, I'm sure it's discussed. I'm sure, but it's but there's got to be a reason why he thought it was a different. Okay, and Abaye says to Rava, at least we're not going to go over Svar right now in the Gemara. Abaye says to Rava, I think I know why you think there's a difference, because there's a Braisa we're about to learn together, and the Braisa is talking about Nizke Adam, and there's no mention of Shishim, this formula of Shishim. So that's why Rava thought there should be a difference. Now, again, that's not a Svar, that's just simply a critical reading of the Braisa. So I leave it to us, myself and the rest of us, to come up with some sort of explanation, although, again, we're not going to accept Rava's position. And we're going to end up saying that Shishim applies whether it's Nitzke Gufo or it's Nitzke Mamono. But at least in terms of a half a minute, why there should be a difference. So the Gemara says, my daitech to time. The Gemara says, now, consider the following. We have a braisa. Hamavkir karmo shel chaver smadar. So let's say a person goes over to somebody else's property and ruins their smadar. Okay, very underdeveloped grapes that are growing on the vine. So so what do you do? So he assess how much it was worth before the damage, how much it's worth after the damage. Now, there's no mention in this braisa whatsoever about shishim. So the Gemara says, so now you think that because there was no shishim mentioned in the previous braisa, so therefore when it's nizke adam, so we don't work with the formula of shishim. But the Gemara says, but it's not true. Just because the braisa doesn't mention it, doesn't mean it's not part of the formula. It is part of the formula. It's an assumed part of the formula. Gemara says, Rabbi says to Rabbi here, I'll give you another example. Let's go over another braisa. Tanya ke gavne de tanya. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Lokatani atu nami gabi behemto nami milo tanya ke gavne de tanya. Regarding a braisa talking about the damages that are done by an animal, we're going to have a very similar braisa, and again, the point that Abai is going to make to Rav is that there's no mention of shishim, and yet, when assessing damages, you use the formula of shishim, and the Gemara says, "Not quote you the braisa, kitma natia." This is not talking about where your animal did the damage, right? We weren't really expected to know this without, you know, without the context of the Gemara. Obviously, within the context of the Gemara, this is talking about where your animal is doing the damage. Kitma natia. So let's say your animal goes over to your friend's property, sapling, it's a really young tree, and cuts it down. Your animal is cutting down your neighbor's property. So in terms of how do you assess the damages? So here in this braisa, there are going to be three opinions. We're going to be focusing, obviously, on the chachamim, which is the accepted halacha, but first, let's get exposure to all three opinions. Rabbi Yosi Amar goes to Gezer, Shishib Yerushalayim, those dayanim who would impose penalties in Jerusalem. Rashi points out over here, it's the last parak in Ksuvos. This is a reference to Admon and Hanan ben Avshalom, where if you remember the end of Ksuvos, they were very prominent over there. They were the judges of Yerushalayim. And they said, Omrim, their position in this context is, Netia bashna sashtei kesef, bashtei shanim arba kesef. So it depends how young a sapling it is. If it's the first year, so then they assess damages at 2 silver coins. If it was a second year tree, so 4 silver coins. Okay, so they had a schedule. They had a menu in terms of what was damage and how much is it going to cost. So, achla chaziz. Now, let's say the animal ate chaziz. Chaziz is talking about, Rashi describes it as shachas, fodder. In other words, so basically the grain is also underdeveloped. We're now talking about, previously we were talking about grapes, now we're talking about grain, and the grain is a very underdeveloped grain, and the animal's eating it. Rabbi Yossi, gluli amar nidam b'mishuyar, shibo. So Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that you judge it based on mishuyar, meaning that this grain is going to grow. Now obviously the animal's got to it before it grew, but it's going to grow. And so therefore, when assessing damage, you don't look at just simply the current value of it, but you look at its future value. And its future value is that it's going to be, obviously, much, much more. It's going to physically be more mature, larger. And therefore, that goes into the assessment. That's the...
There's a lot of variables that may not ensure...
Correct. Tosus over here talks about some of those variables. It's an excellent point. And again, the Chachamim say no. The schedule in which you work with is what we've discussed. The damage is done in the context of the field. Meaning, figure out how much the property was worth before the damage, how much the property is worth after the damage. And now there's no mention of the word shishim, but that's exactly going to be the point. Meaning, whenever you hear that line from the Chachamim, you're going to have to add in also the word shishim, meaning not based on this small parcel of land, but based on a larger parcel of land that the size of shishim saw. Achla smadar. We are now on the very top of Nuntes Amud Aleph. So here now we are at the point where the animal is eating smadar. Smadar are grapes that are small. So very small. So achla smadar, Rav Yeshua Amar. So again, how do we assess the damage that's done? So Rav Yeshua says, Rano sokila hina navim mamdos li batzir. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, again, even though right now these grapes are very small, but we know what's going to happen. We're going to forecast a little bit into the future. The grapes are going to grow. And that is going to be part of the assessment that's done. Meaning, don't look at the grapes right now, but look at what they will become. And as a result of that, you're going to assess it based on that. So, Rabbi, and again, the Chachamim say no. You just based it, and you base the damage based on the context of the property. How much was the property worth before? How much is the property worth afterwards? And finally, one more opinion in this brisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and then the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who says, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, this is an opinion that we are familiar with. We saw this back in the Mishnah, and that is Bemedvar Mamor Mizman Sha'achalu Avigafan Vichure Ta'inim. That's only when the animal attacked the shoots of the vine, or the really soft developing twigs of the fig tree. Ava achla pagim aboser, but if that which was consumed was pagim aboser, this is grapes and figs at a still underdeveloped stage. So the Rabbi Shimon says that what you look at, therefore, is the fact that these are almost ripened grapes, and as a result of that, so therefore you assess the damage based on the actual grapes themselves, not the property, but the actual grapes themselves. We saw this position of Rabbi Shimon back in our Mishnah. Period. Ad kan divrei ha-braisa. This braisa is brought in to just make one singular point. Now, again, there are a lot of opinions in the braisa, but the one singular point is that the Chachamim consistently said that in terms of assessing damage, damage is done in the context of the property. How much was the property worth before the damage? How much was it worth after the damage? And the Chachamim kept repeating that line again and again. What did we not see in the braisa after hearing the Chachamim already a number of times? And now, Ketani miyat v'chachamim omrim rono so kama haisa yafa v'kama hi yafa v'lo ketani b'shishim. What we did not hear in the braisa is the word shishim. So alamaisach lamemra b'shishim. Obviously, when the Chachamim took their position, they're saying it within the context of shishim. Shishim is an understanding that it's not just that we assess it, the damage in the context of the property, but in the context of a large property. We know that that's so. And that braisa was talking about Niske Mamona, where animals were doing damages. And there, we know that's talking about Shishim, even though Shishim wasn't mentioned. So now we turn back to Rava. Rava, you quoted a braisa, or we quoted a braisa on your behalf earlier, that talked about Niske Gufo, where you did the damage. And you thought, well, there was no mention of Shishim, therefore you don't do it in the context of Shishim. But that's not so. Just because the braisa doesn't mention it doesn't mean it's not true. It is true, you still do it in the context of Shishim. Hachanami b'Shishim, same thing over here. So therefore, Abaye simply refutes Rava's position. Rava thought there was a difference between Niske Gufo versus Niske Mamono, and Abaye says it's simply not so. Whenever the Chachamim say that we assess it based on the value of the property before and after damages, it's done so in the context of a large field, not in the context of the current small property. Tosus points out that it's a fair point. Tosus points out that even Rav Yossi's position that we look at the future, Tosus points out that according to Rav Yossi, we're still gonna assess it based on the property, meaning not based on the actual fruit itself. Meaning that we assess the property before and after damage, but we assess the property before, forecasting that the grapes are gonna be larger grapes. But still going to be an assessment of the property. Masha Inkin, according to Rabbi Shimon, we're assessing the actual fruit itself. Well, you'll see. What I just said is going to be even clearer as we go through the Gemara, but that's basically the difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Amar Abaye, Rav Yosef Galili, Rabbi Yishmael, Amar Davar Echad. Okay. Rav Yosef Galili and Rabbi Yishmael could be aligned together. This is Abaye's, one of his favorite things to do throughout Shas. We see this again and again. Abaye likes stringing together Tanaim, who in Svara are agreeing to the same basic point. So, the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Galili, Hadamar. So as far as Rav Yosef Galili is concerned, okay, so we just went over his position back in the Braisa, which is that we don't look at the grapes in its current state, but in other words, these unripened grapes, we look at the grapes and we forecast that they're going to be even larger. Now, Rabbi Shmuel D'Tanya, now as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, where do we see, this is a bias point, that Rabbi Shmuel agrees essentially to this idea that we don't look at the current, but we forecast the future. So the Gemara says, Mitav Sadeo, Mitav Karmo Yishalem. So this takes us back to the beginning of the Masech. So we saw this all the way back in the beginning. And we also saw this back in Gittin, in the fifth parak. The Torah says that when I do damage to somebody else's property, I have to pay Mitav Sadeo, Mitav Karmo. I have to pay with the best of Sadehu, his land, and Karmo, his vineyard. So I have to pay the best of his. Now, whenever the Torah does that, the Torah gives us a pronoun, but the Torah doesn't tell us who it's talking about. So it leaves room for ambiguity. Is it talking about I pay based on my best property, or do I pay based on my, meaning the Mazik, or do I pay based on his property, him meaning the Nizak? And if you remember back in the beginning of the Masechta, and back in Gittin, the fifth parak, this is a machlokas tanaim. Metav Savdeo Shal Nizak, Metav Kamo Shal Nizak, Div Rabbi Shmuel. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, you pay based on the best property of the one who was damaged. And Rabbi Kiva Amar Lo Ba'kasav Ala Gabbos Nizikim Ina Idis V'kam V'cham Ala Hektesh. Now Rabbi Kiva says no, that you pay based on the best property of the Mazik, not of the Nizak, and Kav V'cham Ala Hektesh, and one could draw a Kav V'cham as it relates to Hektesh. You will remember back in the beginning of the Masechta, the Gemara spent some time discussing what this Kav V'cham actually was. And for our purposes right now, we're going to just zoom in on Rabbi Yishmael, focus on Rabbi Yishmael's position. Now, as far as Abaye is concerned, so Abaye will dispense with one viewpoint of Rabbi Yishmael, that of Rav Idi Bar Avin. Meaning, Abaye says, and I'm not buying into his pshat. The Amar Rav Idi Bar Avin, the Gemara here tells us that what he thinks is Kigon Shachla Aruga Ben Arugos, that what's the case over here that the debating Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael are talking about where my animal went into his property and ate one of his rows of whatever he was growing. And now it happens to be, I don't know which row was eaten, meaning there were different rows in the field. Some were really good, some were really inferior in quality. The animal went in and I guess there was no order, it wasn't super organized, and we just don't know which one the animal ate. So the Amar Kum Shleim Shmeina Bemeitav Deika Hashta. So we say to the Mazik, okay, well, we don't know, so you're going to pay the best. The Achil Amrin in my time Amotzim Echaver Al Avraya. Now, the reason why the Mazik is not going to do that, meaning the reason why we're just going to dismiss the opinion of Idi Bar Avin, is because that's not how halacha works. Halacha works based on the principle of Amotzim Echaver Al Avraya. Yes, it's terrible that the Mazik did damage, but at the same time, if we don't know which row the Mazik's animal went and attacked, we're not going to assume it was one of the higher value. If we don't know, we say, if you're trying to extract money from the Mazik, you need to bring proof positive that what the animal ate was of the better quality. So, and we're not going to do that. We have the principle of Amotz Mechavero. Ela b'meitav de la kamei, u'mayniu ki haich de salik. So it must be the following, meaning this is a bias pshat in Rabbi Yishmael. Now it happens to be that we went over this earlier in the Masechta, we did not hear a biased pshat within Rabbi Yishmael, meaning the Gemara gave a different pshat in Rabbi Yishmael. This is new. I mean, this is a new pshat in Rabbi Yishmael. But the new pshat in Rabbi Yishmael is that according to Rabbi Yishmael, when Rabbi Yishmael says that you pay the best of his field, it means that we don't look at it right now. We look at it and we project how it's going to grow. And that's how we assess a property, not in its current state where the fruit are unripened and underdeveloped, but we forecast, we project what the fruit will become, and that's the damage that's done, and then the field is going to be assessed based on that damage. Okay. So that's the bias stringing together the opinion of Rav Yosef Galili together with Rabbi Shmuel and his understanding of Rabbi Shmuel. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Med Amar Rabbi Shachlan La Vigafana Vichure Ta'enim. Okay, the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, quoting in the name of Rabbi Shimon, that the only time that we assess the damages based on the property itself is when what the animal was eating was the shoots of the vine, the really young shoots of the vine, and the same thing is true regarding the fig tree. But hasmadar ro'no sukila navim amdusli batzer. So the Gemara says, but if it's smadar, now smadar is a fruit at its really early stages of development, the budding of the fruit. So when it's smadar, so basically Rabbi Shimon would tell you, well, okay, you don't look at the fruit in the context of the property, you look at the fruit as fruit. And you forecast the fruit's going to grow into actual fruit, and therefore the damages are going to be assessed on the fruit. Even though it's at a really early stage of development, even though it's at the stage of smadar. Problem is, ema seifa. When you read on in the Braisa, achla pagim aboser. Pagim aboser is the stage of the fruit, either the fig or the grape, where it's not fully developed, but it's almost fully developed. So it's a later stage of development. So who derono so kila anavim amdusli batzer? Hasma darono so kama yafa v'kama haisa yafa. So, and that would seem to indicate that according to Rabbi Shimon, if it's not yet at the point of boser or pagim, if it's at the stage of smadar, the fruit is so underdeveloped that we look at it in the context of the property, not in the context of the fruit. So basically, we're a little bit confused within the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. When does Rabbi Shimon treat the fruit as a fruit? So the Gemara says, "I'm a Ravina Kroch v'Tani." So Ravina says, when you learn the Brisa, you got to bundle the Brisa together, and this is how you're going to learn the Brisa. Ba'med v'amamor mizman shachol lavi kafan v'chure entertainim ava achlas madar pagim aboser. If the animal were to eat either smadar pagim aboser, basically, as long as it started budding the fruit, so then according to Rabbi Shimon, we treat the fruit like fruit. Rono sokila anavim amdus libatzer. So ihachi Rabbi Shimon Yehuda hainu Rabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara says, now, if that's true, so basically Rabbi Shimon is expressing the viewpoint of Rabbi Yoshua, meaning the brisa that started on the bottom of the Nun Chesamid base, going to the top of Ardaft, of Nun Tesamid Aleph. So there are many Tanaim's opinions expressed, but now basically what comes out is that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yoshua are saying essentially the same thing. And if that's true, so just it's a little bit awkward now. In the Braisa, it sounds like two different viewpoints, and meanwhile they're really the same point. Once the fruit starts developing, the assessment of damage is not in the context of the property, but simply as fruit. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, yeah, but there is a small and subtle difference between the two opinions, and that is Kachash Gufna. Kachash Gufna is very interesting. The Kachash Gufna is going to be another variable that we're going to put into the formula of assessment. And that is the following. Let's say that my animal or I go into your property and I do damage to your fruit. Okay. And the fruit is not yet ripened, but okay, but anyway, I do damage to your fruit. So on one hand, according to Rabbi Shimon and according to Rabbi Yoshua, so we look at the fruit as if they're developed and as if they're already removed from the tree, and so the assessment is going to be based on the actual fruit itself. Okay, fine. And they both agree. But now consider the following. Now that I've taken off the fruit off your very young and developing tree, so essentially now, if the fruit would have fully developed, that also would have mean that the tree would have been a little bit drier. And in terms of quality, a little bit less quality. And so basically now, on one hand, of course I did damage to your field, and of course I'm going to have to pay for that damage. But at the same time, I also cut you a little bit of a break financially. Because now that I removed the fruit off the tree before the fruit are fully developed, so your tree is going to be a little stronger and a little more valuable. Can I, the Mazik, discount that amount off the damages that I've done? Now, it is a collateral benefit that you received based on the damage I do. Can we now deduct that collateral benefit from the damages. The Gemara says that's the difference between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Shimon of the Braisa. Now it happens to be, and the Gemara is going to admit this in just a second, and it's the next line of the Gemara, it happens to be that we don't have enough information in the Braisa where we know whose position it is that we deduct, the collateral benefit. We don't know which one says which. But the Gemara says, but in terms of the question of, is there a difference between the two opinions? The Gemara says, yes, there is. There's this difference of collateral benefit. Who's pro-deduction? The Gemara says, we don't know. Or at least the Gemara starts off by saying, we don't know. So the Gemara says, but the Gemara says, but we don't know which one takes the position of deduction of a collateral benefit. Now Abaye again, Abaye is very prominent in today's daf. Abaye says again, no, I know. I know who is a believer of deducting a collateral benefit. Gemara says, Abaye is telling us that I'm going to show you that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda subscribes to this idea of deduction. Detanya, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Manasya, One Tena Mishal Mesatzar Mimne Shesofa Litzar Tachas Bala. So a man violates a woman, a Rachmana Litzlan, so he has to pay for the nezik that's done. The third parak of Ksuvos discusses this extensively. We learned this a little while back in the Daf. So the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is you pay all the damages, all the nezik, the knas, everything, etc. You pay everything, but you don't pay tsar. In other words, of the five payments that you pay, you don't pay tsar. Why not? Because that's something which she's going to experience in the future. So therefore, it is something where, although right now, obviously, whatever, I don't have the right words to describe it, but it was beyond heinous. But in terms of the pain, so that's the pain that she's going to experience. And so therefore, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says, you take that off. You deduct it because that's something that she's going to experience anyway. So Amru lo, they say to him, and so they say to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, no, you can't make the deduction because, yes, it's true that a woman will experience a bia rishona, and she will lose her besulim, but you cannot compare a woman who is violated against her will versus a woman who is a willing participant in the act. So therefore, they're really not comparable, so therefore you don't deduct it. But at least you see fundamentally, from a svara standpoint, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda was prepared to deduct it because it is something that is a collateral benefit. She's going to be suffering this pain anyway. So therefore, that gets deducted. So the Gemara says that these Tanayim, together with Rabbi Shimon and Yehuda, all say the same thing. Rabbi Shimon and Yehuda da'amaran. So the Gemara says, now as far as Rabbi Shimon and Yehuda's position, we've already just articulated. Hani Tanayim, ma'i d'tanya. The Gemara quotes the following braisa. Again, we're now talking about the idea of deducting collateral benefit of damages that you've done. So the Gemara quotes the braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nechi Chaya. Okay, Rashi points out, we're talking about Demei Vlados. A man causes a miscarriage for a woman. We already discussed this at length. So that assessed damages is sent to her husband. He is the address of who receives that. So a man causes a miscarriage. So we assess how much, in other words, we give some sort of monetary value to that amount, and that's how much he has to pay. However, Rav Yossi says, but there's a collateral benefit from the miscarriage. And that you get to deduct off the damages. If you take a look at Rashi, what collateral benefit are we talking about? So basically the OBGYN bill. So, right, they're going to have to hire a chayer, they're going to have to hire a midwife in order to pay for the delivery. And now, again, it's not good, we're just discussing this from a financial standpoint, but you saved on the hiring of a chaya. So Rav Yossi says, so the mazik can deduct that off the Demei Vlados, because it's a collateral benefit based on the damage that he did. The Gemara gives another example. Benazir Omer Nechim Ezonos. Benazir says, you know what we can also deduct? Basically food. Rashi over here gives an explanation. Nechim Ezonos. Shehut Tzarech Lo Sifal Mezonos Ishto. Bimei Kishuyev. V'hashna in Kishuy. Amma Menachem Mashu Asid Lo Tzir. Rashi's explanation over here is that during pregnancy she's going to have to eat more. And that increased food consumption, that's a financial bill that's on the husband. So because she miscarried, again, she was damaged, meaning it was nezek that caused the miscarriage. But once again, according to Ben Azai, that could be deducted off the Dmei Vodas, because that's going to be a collateral benefit as a result of the miscarriage, and therefore that's deducted off the damages. So Abai just simply points out that the positions of Rav Yossi and Ben Azai are in agreement, are in alignment together with Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, that if there's a collateral benefit from the nezek, that could be deducted off the nezek. And then the Gemara points out, mandam nechi chaya kol shekein nechi mezonos. Now, if you subscribe to discounting the midwife, the hiring of the midwife, of course you can also be deducting the mezonos as well. However, mandam nechi mezonos aval nechi chaya lo da'am alei is it a didek pekichahi v'lo mi bayi chaya. You see, that's not an absolute cost. Meaning, because when it comes to the midwife, it could very well be that we could have the baby without the midwife. We don't necessarily need a midwife. My wife is a pikeach, right? You think the beginning of Sefer Shmos, Parsha Shmos, right? The Jewish women don't need midwives because they're pikeach. They know how to do these things. So it's not an absolute cost in the having of a baby. And so therefore, if the food is an absolute cost, she will need to eat because she's pregnant, and she will need to eat extra because she's pregnant, so that's an absolute cost. But the chaya is not an absolute cost. And so therefore, that does not get discounted off the Dmei Vlados. Okay. What have we seen so far this morning? So...
Mm-hmm. Collateral benefit is
considered a, in other words, it's according to these Tanaim, they get deducted. Now, does the Rambam also take this into account, and does he rule in favor of these Tanaim? So I don't know. But it's fascinating. It's such a fascinating concept. This whole idea is fascinating. So basically, what have we seen so far this morning? So again, the events of this morning unfolded based on a story that started off this morning. Story of a guy who cut off a tree. And in terms of how to assess the damages. So the Reish Galusa came out with you just basically assess it based on the damage, period. And when the matter got to Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, no. You assess it based on the value of the property now versus the value of property before. And then it devolved into an entire discussion of, is there a difference between my animals doing damage versus I doing damages? Rava thought so. Abayi quoted a number of brises that showed that, no, there's no distinction, there's no difference. And then led to then the conclusion that Rav Nachman presumably is right in terms of how to assess damages, that we always assess damage not based on the damage itself, but based on how much was the property worth, how much it is worth right now. And then the Gemara went on to discuss that there are a number of Tanaim who consider that if there's a collateral benefit that occurs during the damage, that gets to be deducted off the bill. I don't know. Okay, I apologize. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bered, Rav Yeshua, Avad Uvda, Kavasid, Rav Nachman, Vishishim. And then the Gemara just tells us that there are Amarayim, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, where damages were done, and they followed Rav Nachman's ruling, which is that we assess it based on the property's worth before damage versus after damage. And again, not this little property, but based on a larger property of Shishim. Lishna Achrin, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bered, Rav Yeshua, Shamudikla, Agav, Ketina, Da'ara. So the second version is that they did assess it based on the property, but based on a small property, not based on Shishim. Now, the halacha does follow like Rav Papa and Rav Yeshua, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, that you assess damages based on the property. How much was it worth versus how much it is worth? Before and after damages. And that is specifically when the tree is a dikla arma, when it is a palm tree, an Aramean palm tree. However, but if it's a Persian tree, so then the halacha falls like Resh Galusa. Why should that be? Bottom Rashi on the Amud. Chashiv hu me'od, v'nishum b'fnei atzmo. These Persian trees... Don't ask me any more details. I don't know, but these Persian trees are so special and so unique that they are always assessed independently of the property. And so, therefore, if damage is done to this kind of tree, so then we do follow the model of Resh Galusa, where we assess the damage in of itself, not within the context of the property. Elazar Ze'iri, Gemara tells the second story for this morning. Huh? I assume so. Meaning the Gemara.
Something by itself is chashuv. You go by that.
It's right.
By the context.
Right. That's how it would certainly seem. Elazar Ze'iri, our second story for today, and the Gemara tells a story about Elazar Ze'iri. He is little Elazar. I assume the nickname has to do with the fact that he is modest and humble. Like the Gemara says, Shmuel Hakatan, right? The Gemara in Brachos. Right, doesn't small over here just simply means that he's a very unassuming individual. So Elazar Ze'iri havasayam misani uchme. He wore black shoes. V'kai b'shuker. Not only that, but he also took him out and he took him into the marketplace. Now, if you take a look at the top Rashi on and Tesamid Beis, so Rashi says it's minag avelim. Right, in other words, black shoes. Okay, please don't look down and see what kind of shoes I'm wearing this morning. I tend to always wear black shoes. I am, however, at least somewhat defended by Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that the shoes are always black, meaning that's kind of a given. The Rabbeinu Tam writes, it's a top Tosus on the Amud, it's the shoelaces. Okay, my shoelaces also happen to be black, so. But the Rabbeinu Tam says that the Ava wears not only black shoes, but black shoelaces as well. That's Minag Avelim. And the if you're not an Avel, so you wore the black shoes, but you wear different shoelaces. Anyway, this Elazar Ze'iri was wearing Misani Uchmei was wearing black shoes, Vekai B'Shukin Nananda, and he was walking and he was doing so in the marketplace of Nardai Ashkechu de Bei Resh Galusa. Some members of the house of the Resh Galusa saw him doing so. V'Amalei Ma'ishna Hani Misanei. So that's funny. You're wearing black shoes with black shoelaces, and what are you doing? The members of the family of Resh Galusa say to this man. So Amalehu de Kamal Vina Yushalayim. So he says, what do you mean? I'm mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. And so that's my Avelis. Amrulei, at chashivta li tabuli Yerushalayim. So he says, really, you're so chashiv that you're mourning on Yerushalayim. Meaning, we have a day dedicated to mourning Chorban Yerushalayim. But to do so in such a public manner makes you look out to be firmer than everybody else. And I know this is a balance, you got to strike a balance, but on one hand, you have to be as firm as possible. On the other hand, you can't go around touting how firm you are. And the Gemara says, Savar Yehura Hava. So they thought that this is Yehura, this is arrogance. When you're touting yourself to be so firm, so that basically it smacks of being arrogant. So Hava Asuah V'Chavshua. And I don't have a precedent for this, but being arrested for charges of arrogance, and well, okay, just leave. Let's leave it alone. But they locked him up for his public display of mourning Yerushalayim, and they felt. Trying to make this as clear as possible, they felt that meaning if somebody really special. In other words, we know somebody super religious, and he wants to conduct himself in ways that you and I don't normally conduct ourselves. Fine, he's special. But what they felt is that this individual was not that special. And so therefore, he did not have the right to have a firmer than thou attitude, because they didn't think he was that unique. So, Amar Lahu Gavir Abba Ana. So he says, now I know this is not going to help his case. He's being charged with arrogance, but he's saying Gavaraba. He's trying to say, and I'm trying to communicate this as objectively as possible. He says, no, I'm really in a position in life where I can take upon myself extra chumras. And I'm not just anybody. I'm in a position where I can do this. So Gavaraba Ana. Amar Leh Menayah De'inan. So they say to him, well, how do we know that? So Amar Lehu, yeah, so I'm by Minai Milsa, I buy Minacha Milsa. He says, look, I'm ready to take a test. Either I'll ask the questions, you'll ask the questions, I'll take a test. I'll show you that I am proficient in halacha, and I'm in a position in life right now where I can take on chumras, like mourning Yerushalayim in a public manner. So Amar Leh Bayat. So they said, okay, fine, we'll put you to the test. So you're the one who's going to ask the question. So Amar Lehu, Hai Mai Dekatz Kufra, Mai Mishalem. So he says, okay, so a person goes and cuts off a young palm tree from his neighbor's property. How are we going to assess the damage? So they said that members of the family of the Reish Galusa, what do you mean? Assessing damage is very simple. Base it on how much the kufra is worth. Vaha v'tamre. So he says back to them, what about the dates? Amalei mishalom demei tamre. They said, oh yeah, pay the dates as well. So Amalu, so he says to them, obviously this is all a setup, and they're not giving the right answer. And he corrects them, and he says to them, v'halav tamre shakamine. What do you mean? At this point in time, there were no dates on the palm tree. The dates are coming, but they're not currently here. So Amalei, Amalan, At. So they said, okay, we're confused. You tell us what's correct. Amalei B'shishim. So he says, you work with the formula that we've discussed yesterday and today. And that is, how much was the property worth before damage versus after damage? And again, in the context of a larger property. So Amalei, Man Amar Kavasech. So they said to him, well, who thinks like that? So Amar Lehu, Hashmuel Chai, Ubeis Dino Kayam. So he says, who thinks like that? Shmuel is alive, and his Beis Din is available, and you can go and ask him the question, and let's see what he says. So should you come to Shmuel? So they sent a letter to Shmuel asking him this question. So Shmuel says, he gave you the right answer. That's correct. Shishim is how you assess the damages. And they realized at that point in time that he was right. He is a Bar Gavra. He's somebody who is holding and learning, and so he wants to accept upon himself an extra chumrah, and even though it's a public display of mourning of Yerushalayim, and most people don't behave that way, but they understood that he could behave in that manner. Rabbi Shimon Omer Achla Peros Gemurim. My time, Ahadam Arachman, and now we go over the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that if I go into someone's property, or my animal goes onto somebody's property and eats the fruit off their field, the way of assessment, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not based on the property, but based on the actual fruit itself, as if the fruit were detached. So the Gemara says, now where does he get that from? So Ubir Bistei Acher Malami Sheshamen Agav Hasada. So the Gemara says, well, wait one second. Don't we know? We've been discussing this yesterday and today. Damages are assessed based on context of the property, not the fruit itself. So Rabbi Shimon says, yes, I agree with you. That is really underdeveloped fruit. But once the fruit starts making its way into this world, so then you base it on the fruit itself. The Gemara quotes that when Rav would judge, in one case he would judge like Rav Meir, and in our halachi he would judge like Rabbi Shimon. Dan Rav Kara Meir Detanya Kasal Rishon Velo Chas Malo. This is a Gemara in Ksuvos. We discussed this way back, and this is a Gemara detailing what if a husband who is married to a woman is selling off properties that were security towards the Ksuva. So now, in order for a husband to sell a property, so he needs a waiver from his wife that says that, fine, I'm going to release my lien on that property. And so, a husband sells the property, kasav l'rishon, v'lo chas malo. And she didn't waive her rights. L'sheni v'chas malo. So, and then sold off a second property, and she waived the right of the second property. Avda ksuvasa, divra Meir. So Meir is of the opinion that at that point in time, she has now lost her ksuva. So even though that first property that was sold, she did not waive. Rabbi Huda Amar Yecholei Hishatam Nachasura Chasisi LaBaali Atem Malachem Alai. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees with that. Rabbi Shimon says that even though she didn't say anything, but Rabbi Shimon says, but I'll give you an explanation why she didn't say anything. She didn't say anything because she wanted to make her husband happy. She wanted to please her husband. That's why she didn't say anything. But the truth of the matter is that in the event of death or divorce, she of course wants her ksuva, and she did not relinquish or lien off that property. So in that regard, Rav Paskin like Reb Meir, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Two, pasuk hilchos like Rabbi Shimon. Ki I did not. Rabbi Shimon Omer, achla peres gemurim, mishalom as peres gemurim. Im sa saim. And another area in halacha where Rav Paskin's like. Now the first point, by the way, had nothing to do with our discussion. It's just an area in halacha where Rav goes against the general consensus, and he and he subscribes to a singular viewpoint. Here's another example, where if somebody goes in someone's property and eats fruit on the tree, so again, the Chachamim's position is the way the damage is assessed is in the context of the property. How much was the property worth before and after the damage? And in this regard, Rav went and paskin like Rabbi Shimon, which is that if the damages were to the fruit, we look at the fruit as if they're already detached from the tree, and consequently, the damages are going to be assessed based on the fruit, not based on the property. Okay. And the two areas in Halacha where Rav went, like the Das Yachid, like the minority position. Okay, I'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Mishnah. A couple more dapim in the sixth parak of the Masechta.